Hello, everybody. Welcome one, welcome all to Scientology Chat. Was it episode 8? Welcome to episode 8, everybody. I'm here with the actual host of the
Well, I thought you were going to say something else, okay?
podcast.
Eventually, that will become routine, but we're not there yet. Okay. So today's episode is going to be all about auditing.
Woo.
So I'm going to tell you a little bit about what auditing is again. I'm not going to talk too much about how it works because that would be an interpretation of the materials, and I've said it 50 million times at this point that that is against the rules. So we'll just stick to what is portrayed or stated as fact, nothing that's open to interpretation in Dianetics. When
Going by the book.
it's called, that is still a rule that I continue to follow, even though I know that many independent Scientologists do not. And in my conversations with some of them through Facebook, I know that that pisses some of you off. And I apologize, but that's the rule. That's just how it's supposed to work. So I apologize that that irritates some of you, but I
Yeah,
choose to follow that rule.
get over it, people.
The first thing is, just to reiterate, in case, because I know for a fact that some of our more recent episodes, because of how well they have been doing, some people are watching new episodes without watching the old episodes. So just to reiterate, if anybody watches this episode without seeing the previous ones, I have been auditing people for about 9 years. I started with twinning with somebody who I discussed in a previous episode, who now was on staff in an org. We joined the church at the same time. We read Dianetics together, and we twinned together while we first read Dianetics. And so, with nothing but book one, for several years, I was auditing people, family members, friends, whoever. Not in a professional sense. I definitely wasn't confident enough for that. But auditing people, Dianetic auditing for about 9 years. And so I am now a class three auditor. I should say I only ever attested to being a class two auditor, but I was training to be a class three auditor. It's mostly just different techniques, different TRs, different things like that that you learn as you become a higher up auditor as you go through that. This is the, if you're not a Scientologist and you don't really know what the bridge looks like, if you look up an image of it, the bridge is actually two sides. There's one side for your personal bridge, where you go from wherever you are in life, and you work your way up the bridge towards clear and then to the OT levels and so forth. That's the right side of the bridge. The left side of the bridge is your training side of the bridge. That's where you become a Hubbard certified Scientologist, or you take your auditing courses or things of that nature. That's the left side of the bridge, where you learn how to administer tech. Whereas the right side of the bridge is the tech being applied to you for your own spiritual growth.
Is it just left and right, or is there no middle bridge?
No, there is not. Only the introductory level, which can be confusing. If you've looked at the bridge, or you look at it and you wonder why the bottom of the bridge is just one big rectangle and there's actually tiny words under it.
Well, you gotta start somewhere.
Well, the bridge actually basically a large illustration of the tone scale, which is something that you can also look up. Or if you get one of the books, Science of Survival, Self-Analysis, Handbook for Pre-Clears, they all have copies of the tone chart in them. And they're pretty straightforward. I mean, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure them out. It just tells you depending on what level of the tone scale you are at. The level of the tone scale that you are on is when you read the different boxes across the tone scale, find the ones that you most associate with or the ones that are most correct for you, and then whichever one you have the most in, you draw a straight line through that, and that's your part of the tone scale. It's difficult to get people to be honest with themselves with the tone scale, because I think people know themselves, but they don't want to let other people know their own shortcomings, and so it's hard to be honest with the tone scale. That's why I like self-analysis, because you don't have to be honest with anybody but yourself.
Well, you know, there's more than meets the eye, you know.
Yeah, but, well, and that's, if you've ever wondered about the personality test, it's one of the things Scientology is famous for. It's how the famous Trapped in the Closet episode of South Park begins, is Stan goes into a Church of Scientology to have his free personality test. The personality test has nothing, I cannot stress this enough because of what it says in the show and how people think it is. The tone scale has absolutely nothing to do with your Thetan. Your Thetan, anybody else's Thetan, it has nothing to do with that. And again, just to go with that, the E-meter also does not measure Thetan levels. That doesn't exist in Scientology. So anyway,
So it's not like what is the Star Wars thing?
Midichlorians?
Yes.
No.
Those things.
Yeah, that is not how it works. So with auditing, I wanted to kind of talk about this. I personally do not audit people electronically, ever. There are independent Scientologists who will. You can FaceTime with them, or they'll do it over the phone or Zoom calls or whatever, who will do that. I won't. It's against the rules and just the auditor's code to let a session end without being able to close the session. It's very similar to general therapy. The fundamentals of all kinds of mental health therapy are the same. Getting somebody to talk about, unless they just want to feed you pills. But the fundamental level is that you get somebody to start talking about something that happened to them in their life that affects them negatively. And whether you're doing this in auditing or you're doing it in a therapist setting or whatever, if you start talking about one of these experiences and start to relive it, and then you abruptly decide to leave and get up and walk out, you are not going to be okay. It's usually, in Dianetics, that would be the Ingram and your reactive mind fighting against or reacting the way that it thinks it should to protect you, to protect the person. So if you put somebody back, I mean, that's why, like the example we used before with claustrophobia, whether it's auditing or whether it's in a therapy setting, if you start to get somebody to think about or recall in Dianetics an example of this happening to them, they are going to start to have a panic attack. Even if they're not in the actual confined space, they may start to have a panic attack. And so that's your body starting to re-experience something traumatic and doing what it thinks it should to try and protect you, the person. And so the way that auditing begins can vary from auditor to auditor. I personally go directly from the small book that I have here. Give me 1 second, folks. I should have had this ready. Oh, there it is. I can't remember what it's called.
Here, I thought this was a professional book.
It's just called The Procedure Guide. That's not what I thought it was. So if you are going to read Dianetics and you're okay with either visiting an org if you already have the book or you don't have the book yet or whatever, there is a complete Dianetics kit that I can't recommend enough. Mostly because, I mean, it comes with the lectures, which is great if you want to take in more info. It's more about in the lectures, you can actually hear L. Ron Hubbard audit somebody. It's the only time he was ever recorded doing that, which is interesting. It's interesting to hear. If you've never audited somebody before you start twinning, it's a nice thing to hear how he does it, so you can hear it in a professional setting, even though he's doing it in like an auditorium or something. Props to that person being audited, because that would be very difficult to audit somebody when they are being stared at by all those people. When you're being audited, it's supposed to be a calm, quiet place where you can relax and not have to be stressed or anxious. So I'm just going to go straight out of this book, because this little booklet, this also comes with that how-to guide, which is one of the reasons I recommend it. If you already have Dianetics, you can actually get the book by this little book by itself from a church. I lost my original one, and so the org replaced it for me. They didn't even charge me for it. She just gave it to me, which was nice. And so with the basic Dianetics, I'm going to go straight from the book here just to give you an idea. And so before I do this, I've heard stories of people being like open to hypnosis or something and being hypnotized by watching stuff. There are tons of weird YouTube videos of people doing that. There's entire WikiHow guides on how to hypnotize yourself and shit.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So if you're one of those people, don't actually do what I say into the microphone, because just keep yourself focused on the here and now. Dianetics is not hypnotism, which I'm going to talk about here in a minute, because there are similarities, but there's one key difference between the two of them. But if you're one of those suggestible type of people, just don't do what I'm saying. Because I want people to know before I go into this, the reason I want to talk about this is so many people have this idea that auditing is some sort of place where the church brainwashes people. The idea that they implant something into your brain, they trick you into doing something with auditing or something like that, when auditing is pretty straightforward, and in my view, it's the best mental health therapy that I've personally ever experienced. And I've been to many counselors. I was when I was in the fourth grade, I had to go to the nut house because I have a giant big misunderstanding. And so, I mean, my mom, my sister, my grandma, and I all went to the same nut house up in North Idaho. We used to jokingly say that it was the Lancaster special, because all of my family on my mom's side has been in the same nut house and the same room of that building.
That's interesting.
So, and to be just in case, I mean, I wasn't because I went crazy or anything. They thought I was going to kill myself when I wasn't. But ironically, it's one of the reasons that I don't like the mental health field, is because my school counselor didn't want to ask me anything, didn't want to talk about anything. She just thought, I mean, it was almost instant. In the time that I got taken from the playground of my elementary school to the counselor's office, before she had talked to me whatsoever, the police, not even an ambulance or anything, the cops were already on their way to the school to take me to North Idaho Behavioral Health, which is for kids.
That's fun.
Yeah. So that's one of the things I hate about the mental health industry. And it's not just her. There's many counselors who I've met over the years. Some I've paid out of pocket for. Some I had insurance cover, whatever. And the experience, at least for me, was always the same. If you found a counselor who you feel really is helping you, then good for you, honestly. But every counselor I ever met, it felt like they didn't give a shit what was actually coming out of my mouth. And so Dianetics is all about talking and listening. That's what the word auditor means. It means the person who listens. Auditory, auditorium, auditary, all of it means the same thing. So I just want you to get an idea of how auditing begins so that you can understand. And once we get through this, I'm going to stop. And like I said, I'm not going to read through this entire procedure. So if you're suggestible, please don't actually do what I'm about to say. So The way auditing begins is, let's imagine you, the listener, has come to see me, the auditor. I take you into a quiet and calm room. We sit down in a comfortable chair. You relax as best as you can. And this is how we would begin after the pleasantries. I would say to you, you will remain aware of everything which goes on. You will be able to remember everything that happens here. You can pull yourself out of anything you get into if you don't like it. After you acknowledged that statement, which is called an ACK in Scientology, but not in Dianetics, but that's just a fun fact, I would then say to you, close your eyes. In the future, when I utter the word canceled, everything I have said to you while you were in a therapy session will be canceled and have no force with you. Any suggestion I have made to you will be without force when I say the word canceled. Do you understand? And then you would acknowledge that statement. And then after that beginning, all I would say to you is, take me to the earliest moment of discomfort or displeasure and tell me about it. Once you started to tell me about it, this is where auditing comes into what's called the repeater technique. It's the basic technique of Dianetics, and it's something that has been talked about in sort of a negative way. Actually, it's hard for me to say that exactly, because in all of the things that I've ever heard former Scientologists say about auditing, I've never actually heard them say that it doesn't work. Dianetics auditing, at the very least, because I have heard people say that it's weird and it's a bit unusual because of the repeater technique, where, like in our example, you take me to your earliest moment, and this is just going by the book, depending on my clients, it changes, but if we were working on a specific Ingram, I would ask a more specific question, like, let's go to the earliest moment where you felt seasick or were afraid of heights, or the first time you were on a plane or something to that effect. Different things like that relating to specific Ingrams that are affecting their life. But in this case, let's say you take me back to a memory and I have you recount it to the best of your ability. Now, there are going to be specific things while you are I'm auditing you that I'm going to be listening for. It's not just you telling me a story of what happened. I as the auditor, want to get you to give me as much information about your recall as you can. So let's say that you say it's a car accident. And so I want you to take me through this facsimile about a car accident. And so as you go through, I might ask you questions like, what color was the car? Or what was playing? What do you hear? And if you say, I hear music, I would say, what kind of music? Or I would say, how do you feel? And that doesn't mean emotionally. That means I want you to try as best as you can to feel the clothes on your shoulders. I want you to feel your glasses weighing against your ears or your nose. I want you to be able to smell your air, to tell me, describe your air freshener, you know, things like that. So these are different things called visio recall, sonic recall. I think it's touch recall. It's all these different things that we're looking for, and not just a memory. The more different thing, so after you go through it the first time, I'm going to say, is there any more infra data you can gather? And if you say no, I'm going to say, oh, good. Actually, no. I couldn't remember if I said that a second ago. Yep, so I would say, good. Go back to the beginning and recount it again. Pick up any additional data you can find. And so like you can gather from that, you would go back to the beginning of the story, back to the beginning of the Ingram or facsimile, whichever word you want to use, start again, and if you've never been audited or maybe never been to a mental health professional or anything like that, you may think, what is the point of going over it over and over and over again? But I guarantee you, I swear to God on this, Ironically, I don't believe in God, but still, I swear on my life that as somebody goes through this exercise over and over again, you would be amazed. Honestly, you would be amazed at the shit people start to remember. They can start off, you can start off an Ingram exercise for something particularly traumatic, and you may have nothing to go off of except for like a 10, not 10 second, that's a little extreme, but a minute and a half story where somebody barely recalls anything at all during an exercise. And as you go over it over and over again, they start to remember all of the little details, and a 1.5 minute story turns into a 10 minute story. The goal of Dianetics auditing as you work through an Ingram is to reduce the charge, and that's the effect that these negative memories have on you when either you think about them directly, like you do in auditing, or when similar circumstances in your daily life start to trigger key-ins. So I'm not going to describe what a key-in is too much. If you want to know about Dianetics, you have to read the book or listen to the audiobook. But depending on the scenario where you are dealing with an Ingram, say that it's a car accident again. Now, this is just a basic example of it, and it might be a little on the nose for some of you, especially if you're a former or current independent or normal Scientologist and you already know about auditing. But let's just say that we're going with our previous example where this is a car accident. That's the Ingram that you and I are working on as auditor and client. So let's say throughout your life, you start to get anxious when you see, it could be something as simple as the street sign on top of a stoplight. And so this is what we talked about previously about how Ingrams and your reactive mind only sees in similarities. It's called A equals A equals A. And it's where your reactive mind, when it starts to see things that are even remotely, and even that's a stretch, when you get a key in where something that happened during an Ingram is happening around you again, even if it's something tiny, like the last thing you saw before you got T-bone is you looked up at the street sign on the top of a stoplight before somebody hit you on the side of your car. And you might not remember that, but that could be a circumstance where, just like with claustrophobia, your brain sees an enclosed space and starts to panic and freak out to protect you. Your brain takes in weird things like that and stores it as a survival mechanism. And so let's say that that's the case. When you drive through stoplights or you're looking for directions, you might notice yourself start to get bizarrely anxious because you're looking at this street sign and you don't know why it's happening to you. You could even just write it off as you see these street signs and you think that the anxiousness comes from you not knowing where you're going, which may be a part of it, but it could also be that it's a big part of the Ingram where the charge is coming from. That your brain sees that, and I hate to use the word triggers. I hate to use that word, but it's honestly, that is kind of the right word to use here. Your brain sees that, and in Dianetics, that would be your key in. Something that happened to you at a previous time of unconsciousness or pain is now being brought back because of a similarity. There have been instances where I've even, in my own auditing of somebody, I have had somebody who ate shit while walking down a staircase, and they were getting really bad levels of anxiety when they would hear water running, and it was because they were coming down the stairs to turn off their bathtub. And so I swear on my life that is true. That is a genuine Ingram that I have run with somebody. And so it can be the most minute things like that. That's why when you're auditing somebody and you take them through the recall exercise, you are looking for every little piece of detail you can find. And once you gather enough data, at the end of an Ingram, it sounds weird, but if you are an auditor, have been audited, or you're a former or current Scientologist, and you will know what I mean by this. The end goal of auditing, and you know that an Ingram has released its charge, is when you can see somebody start to smile, or even the best case scenario is when they start to laugh while they're going through a recall exercise. And it can be the darkest shit. It can be painful. It can be bizarre. It can be any kind of Ingram. And you start to see as people work through it. And I mean, sometimes you're running the same freaking thing 25 times. And it's annoying for the person auditing and the person auditing them. But it sounds weird, but it does happen. At a certain point, as the charge goes away, all of the negative emotion that's tied to this Ingram starts to fade away. People start to smile and laugh about something. They recall different parts of it that make different things happen. Even with the story I told before, where I was auditing about my sexual assault, even I, and I guess it's sort of like Joan Rivers said that she used humor and being able to laugh about her husband's suicide as a way to get over it. And I think that's a perfect example of the same idea. Once you can, I mean, and it's not just Dianetics. Once you can laugh about something, you can start to feel better about something. And it's kind of a similar idea with Dianetics. It doesn't actually need to be a belly laugh, but even something as simple as just a little chuckle or a snicker or anything like that, if it's genuine during the recall exercise, you are getting somewhere. You're reducing the charge, the ability that this memory, facsimile, Ingram has on you and its ability to affect you in your daily life if you start to experience other key-ins. Sometimes people get key-ins, don't realize they're key-ins, and they stay keyed in and negatively affected by things for way, way, way too long. And so you can tell on this episode compared to some of our previous episodes how much I know about this, and that's because auditing is sort of my speciality. Yeah, I would say I personally, over the last 9 years, probably have something around to the effect of 300 hours of auditing people. Especially between 2016 and 2018, I audited a lot of people. And so I think that's what we just described there is a good depiction of auditing. I think that is a clear and concise idea of what you're looking for, why you're looking for it. Now, some of you, as I've been describing this, may be thinking that this sounds like hypnosis. I know my esteemed colleague has been saying that before.
Sounds like a bunch of voodoo.
Yeah. And I've said this before, but I want to elaborate on it to be more clear. There is an important distinction between Dianetics and hypnosis. In theory, hypnotherapy and Dianetics have the same ultimate goal: to put you into a relaxed state so that you can focus more. And in hypnotherapy, I shit you not, the same therapist who would stand there and tell you that Dianetics is a load of bullshit will copy every fucking aspect of it when they describe hypnotherapy, because they say that when you relax and you're put into an unconscious state, you're able to focus more and access your unconscious mind. Doesn't that sound a bit familiar? The difference is the way that it actually works once you've relaxed. In hypnotherapy, you are deliberately put into a suggestive state. Whether it's, I mean, some of the dumb shit you see on America's Got Talent, although Howie Mandel shaking people's hands and letting people touch his head, that one was weird, because Lord knows he is a genuine germophile. Germaphobe, sorry.
He also voiced Gizmo in Gremlins.
Yeah. So that was one of the only times I've ever seen hypnosis on TV where I was like, well, shit, goddamn, that one might be real, because that was crazy. So during hypnotherapy, you are put into a suggestive state. And the way that hypnotherapy works is once you're placed into a suggestive state, you find different behaviors that a person has. And you are supposedly, and if this works for you, good on you, honestly. I hope that it does. I really hope that people get better through different forms of therapy. But once you're put into a suggestive state, they'll help you navigate to different bad behaviors or different things you want to change about yourself, like Howie Mandel and his germophobia. And so once you're put into that state, they'll find these behaviors and then suggest the changes to you. So I mean, that example again is they just straight up tell you, you are not afraid of germs. And if you're in a suggestive state or you're open as a suggestible person, then that may affect you and you may be able to take that and it change you while you're in that suggestive state. Dianetics does not do that. I've said this before, and Dianetics, if you make a suggestion to somebody like that, you are absolutely breaking the rules. You are not supposed to give any information during an auditing session whatsoever. And it's even something as simple as, and I said this before, but let's go back to that car accident, Ingram. Let's say we're running that, and let's say that you go through it the first time, and you say that you're driving, and I say to you, I should say to you, what do you hear? That is a way to ask a question and get a response without giving somebody any information. If I say to you, do you hear music? That's against the rules. That's a suggestion. You're starting to implant something that might affect their recall exercise because people are suggestible. Dianetics works whether you're a suggestible person or not. Hypnosis only works if you are open, if you're suggestible, or in my personal opinion, if you're mentally willing to allow it to happen, because I think that in order for it to happen, you have to play an active role in letting it happen to you. Whereas with Dianetics, none of that applies. It doesn't matter if you care about hypnosis, it doesn't matter if you're open to suggestion, because no suggestion is actually happening to you. It's only an auditor asking you questions and you giving all the answers. An auditor never gives you answers, ever. That's against the rules. And so I see this auditing compared to hypnosis a lot. And that reason, I cannot stress to you enough how major of a difference that is. Even though, even as you hear that, you might see here where it says you're installing a canceller. When you say, I'm going to say, at the end of this auditing session, when I say canceled, it's going to, the things we talk about in our session are no longer going to affect you. That sounds like hypnosis, but it's not. At that point, the person has already been returned to the present, and you have never given them any suggestions at all. That's more of, I don't know how to describe what it is, but it's after you've brought somebody back to present time. And so that would be they're awake, they're alert, you've made sure they're in the present time, and then you say canceled. So I can't stress enough that the suggestibility and suggestion part is the difference between like general therapy sessions where certain extremely irresponsible mental health quote unquote professionals have implanted fake memories, whether it's children who falsely accuse people of molesting them
Well, I
and
was gonna say that, like the therapist is like, all right, who touched you?
yeah, it's that kind of so Dianetics, and I can't stress this enough to people, never, ever, 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 ever gives you information. Nothing is implanted or suggested to you that could affect your recalls, because then you can get into a whole fuckload of a mess by doing that. You can key somebody in, then you make a suggestion that creates something that wasn't originally there, and then as they begin their recall exercises, you've made the case way harder for yourself and the person you're auditing. And so, yeah. There are some, and I will say, it's a full disclosure, there are some bad auditors. There are some bad auditors, even who work in the orgs. There are some bad auditors who are in the Sea Org. Auditing is everybody learns how to audit through Dianetics. But not everybody is good at it. It's funny that that's actually something that L. Ron Hubbard talks about in one of his books where he's trying to help auditors be better. I think I'm pretty sure it's Dianetics 55, where he actually is like, he says that he had to make some techniques a little bit easier because he didn't realize how many bad auditors there was going to be. And so I hate to say it, but that is true. that at some point I hope that it works out, because I would really like, if I can find somebody who is willing, here in the greater Salt Lake area, northern Utah area, to be audited, on here while we're recording, I would love to do that so that I can show you. Because I don't toot my own horn that much in life, but I know that I am. I know that I am a good auditor. And so, well, I can, and like we said before, you can, if you're curious, you might be able to find a different kind of different independent Scientologist who will audit you remotely or electronically or something like that. And you don't have to take my advice, but I cannot stress enough how bad of an idea that is. If it's real auditing and you are put and you start to experience your key-ins, remote auditing, you're a cl that the person you're auditing is one click away from ending the session, and you might never be able to help them get out of where you've placed them. And so I personally think that remote auditing is extremely irresponsible on the part of the auditor. So, while I can't actually audit you folks with Dianetic auditing, I wanted to talk about self-analysis, because before the end of our episode here, this is something that we can do together. And so, what we're gonna do is, it's not quite the same as Dianetic auditing. It's more of a basic level for what's called self-processing when it comes to Dianetics. And in a lot of cases, I have strongly encouraged people who I have audited to do this in the first place, especially if they struggle with different kinds of recalls, whether it's not being able to recall things that they hear, things that they smell, etc., etc. And so self-analysis is a real, and I've talked this book up many, many times, and I will do it again now. It's a really good way to help you be better at recall exercises. They also make you feel better, as long as you follow the book and end on a good one, which is what we're going to do here together. And so, with self-analysis and Handbook for Pre-Clears, basic and advanced self-processing, you can go clear all by yourself. Handbook for Pre-Clears is way, way harder to do by yourself, but it can be done. And so let's do this, and let's do this together. So for the listener out there, I'm gonna tell you what I want you to recall. I'm gonna tell you what sense I would like you to focus on, and I'd like you, if you're sitting, standing, laying, wherever you are, if you want to do this together, if you can, to find somewhere comfortable, somewhere you can just sit and relax, close your eyes, and just do that, and just tr do this with me here. If you want, if you don't want to, you don't have to, that's perfectly fine. I'm gonna kind of go through these relatively quickly, through it, and so while you're doing them, after I ask the question, pause the podcast and find your recall. Find where you're gonna go, what you're gonna recall. Then play again, and I'll tell you what I would like you, as you recall, to focus on. And I'm gonna do two different senses for each question, with six questions in total, or three questions in total, so that you can focus on six different senses. And then to get just a basic idea, I cannot impart on you enough. If you can go on Amazon, if you don't want to buy from the church or whatever, I can't, even if you don't care or don't like Dianetics or Scientology or anything, what the book is like $5 if you buy it pre-owned. You could check it out from your library. I cannot impart on you how good this truly makes you feel. When I first quit smoking, every time I wanted a cigarette, I would do a recall exercise of something that made me feel good, and I didn't want a cigarette anymore. It really does help. These are one of those things where, and I can't stress this enough too, you don't magically feel better just by just through buying the book. If you get the book, you actually have to read it and do what it says in it. Unlike the Bible, you don't get credit just for having it in a drawer somewhere. So, Go ahead and sit down and get comfortable. Once you get comfortable and you can relax, close your eyes. Recall an incident where you cared for somebody. Once you have your incident, go through the incident starting at the beginning of your memory and focus on what you can see. Try not just to see the things in front of you, but see the things all around you, what you see on the ground, what you see in the background, what you might see on a table or a desk. Do you see chairs? What do you see? Perfect. All right, recall a time when you were confident. This time, as you go through your recall, starting at the beginning, focus on body position. How were you walking? If you're sitting, are your legs crossed? Are you tapping your leg? Are you tapping your fingers? Body position. Recall an incident when you were glad to hurt somebody. This time, focus on tone. That doesn't mean the tone of the tone of audio. That's your tone scale. How angry were you? How angry was the person across from you? What was their emotional tone in this recall? And finally, recall an incident where you felt very safe. In this recall, starting from the beginning and while as you go through the recall, focus on what you can touch. There you have it, ladies and gentlemen. That is what is called light processing. That's why I was able to give you specific things when we're talking about that. Dianetics auditing is called deep processing, where you're actually going through the process of having somebody close their eyes, the whole opening sequence that we did at the beginning of our episode here. Light processing is the kind of processing you do in self-analysis where you do it on yourself. And so I hope that that helps you. I really like self-analysis, and if you want to do more of the exercises, you could get the audiobook on Amazon, on Audible, and just listen to the book and have the audiobook, oh God, narrator ask you the questions similar to like I just did. You won't have the wheel. It comes with a wheel with different emotions on it to focus on, but I think you could get the gist of it just from what we talked about now. Whether you get it from there, get it from Amazon, get it from the church, get it from your library, self-analysis is a great book. Even you never have to go and or interact with anybody or even really work with nobody ever has to know that you're doing it. You can do it all yourself. So I highly encourage you to be able to go and do that. If there's anything you guys can think of or you want to send in some questions, you can go ahead and send questions to ScientologyChat, all one word, at gmail.com. Was there anything else you wanted to say?
Just world peace, read stuff, question everything, all that fun stuff.
Perfect. Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen, for continuing to listen to us. We're already almost to 500 total downloads, and I can't tell you how much we appreciate that. We're definitely gonna do Trapped in the Closet once we get to our 1,000 downloads mark. So thank you again. Have a good rest of your night, and we will see you on Thursday.